Welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show. This podcast is sponsored by Scale Up Consulting, helping FinTech startups create a scalable organization to support an ever-increasing demand. When you're ready to grow, reach out to us at richard@scaleupconsulting.co. Now, over to the show with Richard Doty, founder and host. Hello, folks, and welcome to another episode of the FinTech Scaling Show, where we talk with cutting-edge leaders and we chat to them about how to scale up in the FinTech ecosystem. And we're doing this because we want to be a major part of creating the new financial ecosystem. And we want to give you the insights, the tips, the tricks, the tactics, and the strategies that will allow you as a leader to take your team, your group, your ecosystem, and even parts of society towards a prosperous future. And today, really stoked to have Tomas on the show today. Tomas is a brilliant entrepreneur. So very, very happy to have him on the show. He's the co-founder and also CTO at FinTech Blocks and also Aggregator.io. He's also held some senior positions at other companies. As you know, he's been CEO at other companies, also CTO, and he's done his stint as a corporate in the corporate world at Nokia. So listen, mate, really stoked to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Hey, good to talk to you.
Brilliant. And just to give everyone a bit of a insight as to what we're going to be discussing today, we're going to dive into the common denominator that we all know is crucial to get right when you're scaling up, and that's people. And we're going to go on to talk about expansion and contraction. So let's dive into it. And it will be good to set the scene for everyone. And there's been a lot of talk over many years about culture, and I understand that talk about culture because it's so important. It's something that we've got to get right from the start in order for us to do anything if we want to scale up our business. But part of culture is people, and sometimes people forget about that side of it. So I really believe that as leaders and founders, you need to have a philosophy to dealing with people if you want to do anything in the business world. So I'd like to know from you, Tomas, what's your philosophy to dealing with people?
Really believe in talent, actually, and learning. And the talent can be developed as well. And learning is more of an attitude, more of a personal characteristic in our experience. So we at FinTechX are aiming to transform the fintech industry. Mm-hmm. And we are working on this because we believe that any company can become a fintech. And given the right tools, know-how, and a couple of partnerships, anyone could do that. But it's still not happening. And why is that? Because development is usually slow, and there's legacy systems and legacy cultures as well, as we are talking about. Yeah. And this is what we're trying to change, and we're working with many banks with these legacy systems and cultures, and we're working with entrants on the new open banking wave. Mm-hmm. And those opportunities that, and threats that are coming from open banking, we are breathing that every day and living that every day. And this is what's required, I think, in dealing with people, to have a vision that we want to have a more inclusive financial development system where not just the Revoluts and the biggest banks, BBVAs of the world, will have innovative products, but any bank and any provider. And this is a goal worth fighting for. Mm-hmm. And once we have this vision alignment, then the learning, if the personal characteristic fits, then it automatically gets adjusted. It goes into the right direction. Mm-hmm. So if I had to summarize it into phrases, then I would say that the most important part of dealing with culture and people is vision and the learning ability.
Okay, so let's dive into this a bit more, because I love what you're saying. I believe that we can have a vision. We can all talk about that. But talking as a leader is not enough, right? We need to action. We need to have action on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, monthly, yearly, etc. So that action is going to be action that we encourage people to get towards our vision, take us towards that place that you're just mentioning. So there's going to be some work for us to do as leaders around getting connection with partners, with banks, with employees, but not just connection, creating that authentic connection and also that affinity, right? That then really is powerful and starts taking us towards our reality, that vision that you mentioned.
Absolutely. The vision itself, if just you're communicating something and you're not actually doing anything about it, of course, it's just talk at a bar with a beer in your hand and anybody can dream. But when you actually come to talking with a bank that has been doing some of the banking execs and people who have actually been doing the same thing over for 20 years, and then changing their mindset and changing how they work and offering them a newer way to do so, and convincing them, and then they see the results of it, then you actually see some actions and results. So this is what we're focusing on most of the time, that we're trying to give our partners recipes and tools like those microservices, APIs, DevOps, open banking knowledge as much as we can. And because the market is actually reshuffling a lot. As you can see that this open banking is turning the whole market upside down. And if they are going to do the same thing that they have been doing for 20, 30 years, then they're just going to be left out. And it's going to consolidate, and you're going to have 4, 5, 6 major players, and all the other ones, all the ones that we actually loved for maybe 20 years or so, we chose them because we trusted them, they will disappear.
Okay, so we're changing mindset. So that's not a small task, right? So how are you guys going about doing that? What are the three things that you think have worked well over the past little while that actually have resulted in that partner or bank or individual with inside a bank actually moving and shifting towards that new world or that new mindset?
First of all, let me start from our team, because once we get people on our team, we always hire people with a great learning ability. And then we don't only ask for this in an interview, but we actually give our interviewers some programming tasks to do, some small app to develop, or in a business side, some business conundrum to think about. And we think and see how much they can learn, how much they can figure out on their own, new information to research and come up with a solution. And this culture of experimentation is very crucial. And it's on our onboarding criteria, basically. So if we can see that somebody is able to do it and loves to do it, then we are sure they will be able to do it when working with these legacy institutions as well. And they won't get carried away and that blind that this has been done the same way for so long. It won't hold any sway. So if that's true, then we will keep experimenting. And when we do an experiment, when we do something a different way, then the results our banking partners and our fintech partners will also see. And that helps immensely. And then second point, we need champions inside those organizations. So we try to get to know each and every person in that group that we're working with, in that department, maybe in the maintenance activities department, to all the way to the digital thinkers and movers of the bank or the fintech that we're working with. And then we'll try to figure out which one of these people will be our champion. Because in my personal experience, about maybe 20% of the people in these organizations move things forward. And we need those 20%. We need to find those 20%. And then we will build our relationships with them, because we will be their ally in moving things forward, and they will be our ally inside of the organization.
I love it. And I think it's a salient point, making certain you have a champion that is actually an advocate of your business and your philosophy and your mindset, that can ultimately, although they're not employed by you, but they can work on your behalf to gradiently get towards, maybe coach other people with inside that company towards the new way and the new mindset that needs to shift.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be the department head. And many times it's someone with a business analyst background, tester, or even an engineer working on the production systems. Mm. And because your system seems to offer more, our system seems to offer more reliability all the time, and it's easier to work with than all those legacy systems that they have, that they love it, and they will always advocate for it as well. Yeah. So it starts from the average employees who are working day to day with our systems. If we believe that if they love it, if they see the value in it, then that's the basis. You can have a great experience and great professional relationship with the digital head, but you need to win the people who work with your product day by day.
So changing mindset is done internally through making certain when you onboarding new team members, they like the culture of experimentation, of disruption, of trying new things, right? And then that's translated and taken into the partner or client organization where you look for an advocate, a champion, or someone of that ilk that will spread the word and be their partner inside the organization.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant. And when you're looking for new hires to come in and you're looking for new team members to come in, what do you do to make certain that this new blood coming into the company are effective right off the bat from day one? So they come in on day one, they are producing for you. They're producing the results that you want in order to, again, achieve that vision that obviously the team wants and in larger state, the fintech ecosystem needs.
As I said, we're looking for culture fit first. So one, this exercise, if I should call it, when we're onboarding exercise that we give to everyone and we can do at home, and then we discuss. Once we see that discussion in the beginning already is a type of starting the work basically with us. And I believe that that's the best way to onboard someone, is to actually work with you on something small maybe. And then when you've done that, then you can see all aspects of your cooperation. Because it's mostly not about the knowledge base. We have a knowledge base and we have specifications. You can read the specification, but you won't get to be productive as much as if you have the culture of it from the first day. And this is why these exercises worked very well for us. Mm. Because we basically worked for a small project, for one, two-day project with those onboarded people.
So you work in, let's dive into that. So you work with the new team on a little mini project. You see there's a culture fit. You also see that there's good production. And that results in when they, you know, in the hot seat or on day one or day two, as the case may be here, they're actually starting to produce already because they're now part of the team. They fit into the culture.
Yeah, and what we do is what I said before, that we again have a discussion on the vision, why are we doing stuff and who we're working with.
Yeah.
But after the short discussion, most of the first week is about playing around with our tools and know-how and everything that we have in the company, playing around a lot of demos, lots of playing around with everything. Mm-hmm. So once you know that what you're oriented with, and you know that you, and we know that you can learn, then we toss you basically, and you can play with everything that we have and figure out how you can use it in your life. Because you know where we are going, you know what your part will be in it, so you just need to figure out how.
Okay, so you're giving this person, for want of a better word, you're giving them a hat. So, okay, this is your developer hat or your business analyst hat. We like you, you're fit for our culture, we've tested your productivity. Here we go. This is your box, for want of a better word. This is your domain to get used to. Now you go figure out how you're going to execute. And obviously then link back to maybe a team lead or a CTO, a CPO, etc. if there's any problems that arise that you need to overcome.
Yeah, we give a lot of mentoring as well. So not only that, we touch in, okay, this is the product. Play with it, try to figure out the features and read the documentation. It's not only that, but you will have 1,000 questions.
Exactly.
And that 1,000 questions, somebody who's doing the same, who's wearing the same hat, basically, that person will explain to you. And then you will have another 1,000 questions, and that's good.
Yeah.
We want you to have them. We want you to have as many questions as possible, because that means that your understanding and learning is getting deeper and deeper.
So it's in a way, it's a cycle of train the trainer. So lots of questions, you go back, you get them answered, you go back, you get them answered, et cetera, until you become the expert and you can start leading that division or that department or whatever may be, right?
Yeah.
And as you structure these roles as they come into your company, how does it, at a larger scale, how does it play out from an expansion perspective? So let me ask that question again. How have you structured yourself so that when you're growing and you're growing on top and you're growing underneath, that you can expand, you can lean into an organizational structure that allows for expansion?
Actually, this last 1 year has been mostly about this. We are raising our second round of funding. Actually, not raising, we're finishing the round just now, the second round of funding. And we're going to offer all these APIs and our high-level fintech super app to small banks all around Europe and the Middle East. Yes. So this will inevitably require more on the business side and of course, on the developer side as well. So what the way we built our team is we educated many of those senior people in our developer and business teams as well, that they know that the reason why they're learning is because they will have to teach people. The reason why they are getting prepared to delegate the same way.
Brilliant.
And we built, me and my co-founder, we did the same thing basically. When we've grown from 12 people to 25 people to 30 to from revenue also about the same amount. Then, or actually more, then we did the same thing. We brought a management layer between us and the development team, and we taught them the same way, delegated, and we taught ourselves to delegate, and we're teaching them to delegate as well, because this is the future. If a startup doesn't grow, it will die. So that's inevitable, and everyone to go.
Yeah, so delegate. So the management layers come in. The senior leaders below the executive group or heads of departments, maybe we call those. Everyone is delegating. Everyone's making certain that they train their departments and team members such that they can perform their roles. What type of training, other than one-on-one and what we've discussed previously, what type of training strategies have you instilled? Things like, you know, I think a cool thing that I've used definitely as clients is videos and video tutorials on certain parts of the product or certain parts of a process maybe that you're running that someone can pick up and understand without you actually being there. So, yeah, be keen to get some insights as to some of the training strategy you guys put in place.
We have a few of these high-level product demos and high-level specs as well. And that they basically just explain how the product works. It's like similar to a sales material.
Yeah.
But we like to do more in-person sales after the initial state. And we are running a weekly program of deep dive trainings, and we're recording all of them. We are now have dozens and dozens of training materials available as well, especially when you have to go very deep on the technical side.
Yeah,
and exactly. this is very, very much essential. But it worked out very well so far that these trainings have accumulated a large body of knowledge.
So it's a knowledge base that people can dive into 24/7, 365 days a year, if they want to get insights into, you know, the product or maybe a certain aspect of operations or support.
Yeah, like some DevOps training on microservices and some training on API, some training on open banking and how it's transforming the industry, all of these things.
Has that been successful? And if it has been successful, why do you think the listeners should also think about implementing, if they haven't already, implementing a similar type of 24/7 training system for their businesses?
For us, it's very important because this is how we onboard people. As I said, that we're looking for people who are learners, who want to learn quickly, develop themselves quickly, and we want to give them all the tools necessary. Yeah. And on top of that, of course, we don't like to explain everything two, three times again and again from the beginning. It's good if you have questions after you've seen the basics, but it's good to have everything in context. And this is what these trainings are for. That someone prepared 4, 6, 8, 16 hours maybe for that training. And they put a lot of time into trying to put everything in context. So that's why they are good to watch and then ask questions when you're actually trying it out yourself.
So for the listeners out there, it's allowing, if you haven't got the system in place, it's something that you should do. You want people to learn. You also want knowledge at the fingertips of everyone so they can learn consistently, come up with different types of questions, and also obviously grow themselves, and also then obviously grow the product and grow the business, right?
Yeah, but as I said, it only works coupled with mentorship. Because otherwise your questions will be left hanging and you won't be able to connect the dots.
So as a buddy, there's a system and then there's the mentor and they both, and then there's the person that's learning, and these three things come together quite nicely. I like it. Yeah, I like that system. And as you're walking through the expansion, you mentioned you're raising now, or you just completed your sort of round two of raising. What are you doing as a leader to understand whether you are expanding or whether you are contracting? What are you doing to measure those two variables?
Well, we're, of course, tracking our revenue and recurring revenue, more importantly. And so that's what we are working towards most of the time now. And in the past, we've had deals. Most of the deals had some kind of development in place. So, for example, we developed some open banking APIs or some business APIs for some banks, and then we set a recurring amount that we will support it for each month. But nowadays, we're more and more trying to build business deals where we would build it in front and give it to our customers, and then we will share the risk and the rewards as well. Mm. So in that way, the recurring revenue grows as the business grows, as the usage grows, as the usage volume grows. So we already have a few services like our open banking API aggregator service that works in this business model, and we're building additional ones as we speak.
And if things are going very nicely and they're expanding, obviously that's a good path to talk about. But what do you do in a situation where you see the stats, in this instance, the two revenue stats, contracting and moving downwards? What is the first call of action for you as a leader and you as a leadership group to take?
We've actually seen one example of this. So not too many, but one example. And it turned out to be an education issue. This open banking is quite new in Europe, and especially these APIs are not quite, how should I put it, not 100% reliable. But they're getting there. And we need to educate our users, for not only our users, but our partners' users as well. Mm. So we need to give a lot of time and attention to help our partners educate their own users that this is how it is now, how the open banking is developing. These are great opportunities, but maybe if they have a scenario where it's maybe working 80% of the time, then they need to have a fallback that they have to use for the handling the 20%. But the 80% cut in automation that they still get from being more efficient in their work is still very good in their work. But they need to set the expectations right. So that's what I would say, that we need to understand the end-to-end business model in that case. We can't just look at the revenue. Oh, this recurring revenue is dropping. What should I say? Should I give a rebate to this customer? That doesn't work. I have to understand the whole thing. Why are their customers deciding the way they are deciding? And based on their customer's decision, they will decide some way, and then it will impact my business.
Nice. So you're understanding the end-to-end side of things. I get it. But and the action you're taking or have taken as a leader is to, you've identified a problem, which is education. What did you do to go and educate the market? Is it a case of need to increase your outflow on certain aspects of open banking and APIs, i.e. maybe you do some webinars, maybe you go on podcasts like this, maybe you go and do an industry talk? What are the educational outlets or outflows that you guys were investigating and
yeah, it would be amazing if it worked like that, but it doesn't, because the customers, for example, yeah. If you're working with a bank and the banking yeah. users are not going to watch many of those podcasts, and so we're not going to reach enough people that way.
Yeah.
So we need to educate them through our partners.
Yeah, yeah.
And that means that we need to educate our partners, maybe a help desk team, maybe a sales team, and all of those people, and give them the right materials, tools to do this. And also, we are, most of the time, when we see something like this, then we are introducing new features in the product as well. So maybe we're changing some lines. Maybe we're introducing some tutorial screens or something like that to educate the users directly. Mm. But both needs to happen. It's not enough to put up a tutorial that everybody will just click and get rid of it.
But I guess the main gist of what I was saying is the outflow. You have to start communicating outwards if there's a problem, whether it's to partners, whether it's through different channels. The outflow needs to maximize for you to start solving, answering that question that your users have, or solving that problem your users have, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Then we need to get feedback also, because that's what I said, that feedback from the end customer is the most useful. So we need to get that, and we usually try to get that directly as much as we can, because if it comes back through an intermediary, like if we get it from the bank or if we get it from a fintech partner, then sometimes it's not as clear what the original intent or the original problem was, especially if it comes with a recommendation. That's always a red flag to me. If somebody says that I should move this button to there and all the problems will be solved, and I don't even know what the problem was, then I'm highly skeptical about that. But so first I want to understand it and hear the customer talk about the problem itself.
And yeah, I mean, that's a good way to look at it. And on the flip side of contraction is expansion, right? So your revenues are going up, you're looking at the end-to-end side of things, and you're seeing that things are moving in the right direction. So maybe this is where you guys are right now. What are you doing to make certain you stay in that state and move up along that expansion trail?
Well, since this whole new open banking wave is quite new, what we're doing is basically seeking out new use cases and new partners with the same use cases as our previous partner, because maybe one or two early movers have already adopted. If you're talking about, say, online lending, we have online lending companies, and some banks have done full end-to-end online lending on open banking data.
Yeah.
With our help. So what we're doing is we're going out to the other ones and also explaining that, hey, this is a good thing. And if you're not moving, you'll be left out, which is actually true. Because if once people get used to it, that this is how it's done, and this is how it's done, and it's done at these two companies, then they will remember those two companies, and it will be much, much harder for you to get Windows over. So this is what we're doing, basically. We're explaining everyone that this opportunity, this wave is not only coming, but it's here. And you jump on the surfboard and ride it.
I like it. Good analogy. Good analogy. And as you move as a founder in your business, and you obviously got a big mission and a big vision to achieve, what are you as a leader, and what is your executive team, what are you guys and girls thinking about, as what factors are you considering, and what questions are you asking as you move to the next level, as you move past your second round of funding and you move closer to your mission and your objectives?
Well, my main question is usually this, that this open banking movement, this reshuffle is happening. Mm. These super apps are already here. Revolut, you can buy it now. Now you can reserve accommodation as well. Mm. So you can do more and more things in these super apps as well. And some banks have already launched their own super apps, like Erste Bank with the George platform. And more of the embedded finance use cases are here as well, which are using all of these APIs, not only open banking, but other APIs as well, like loans and credit scoring and whatnot. Yeah. And so these are here. And the digital shift is also happening. So especially after COVID, this is undeniable that more and more users don't even want to come near a bank or a banking person. They just want to solve everything on an app and as far as possible from the benches. Okay, then maybe they will go for a mortgage, but most of the everyday finance they would like to do digitally. still what we see in many bankers, especially in these legacy smaller banks, maybe that we are trying to target more, because that's what the crux of the transformation is. They are still very cautious, as they were raised to be, of course. As bankers, they are raised to be cautious, but yeah. But this is the challenge, to understand that you don't have the time to wait it out and see. Because a consolidation happens, then you're left out. Mm. And then you can't sit and wait for the big fish to eat all the small fish, and then maybe you will survive.
Mm. I hear you. It's a tough job though, right? Changing the mindset of a industry that is, it needs changing 100%. And that's why we're here. That's why we're discussing how to change the industry and the FinTech Scaling Show. But a tough job doing it. I wonder what other mechanisms, other than you just mentioned, i.e. partnering up, communicating, solving problems, we as a new wave of leaders coming through can help educate. Let's help educate myriad of players, the small and the large, to the new ecosystem. What is your suggestion to do that?
What I've seen work a few times, if we go with a use case that brings ROI in the beginning, maybe it's a small one, maybe it's this online lending.
Yeah.
But once this works, then you establish the credibility that they believe that maybe you know what you're talking about. And maybe this digital thing is something that they need to do, and maybe they need to do it faster. And maybe they will even get some profit out of it, especially if they are small. Because if you are small and this open banking is reshuffling everything around you, then you have a great opportunity to get customers from other organizations.
Nice. So you nimble, you move fast. There's an opportunity, right? There's an opportunity to grab market share and customers.
Exactly.
Nice. Okay, cool. And what's the one thing you would highly recommend for, you know, our listeners as they go on their scaling journey? What is the thing you'd recommend for them to do, both professionally and or personally, as they walk and march towards their mission?
What we really believe in is choose people who are quick learners. Because if they are quick learners, they will believe that they can change, which means that they will believe and your startup can also change the environment, whatever business environment you're in. So whatever your mission startup, it means that you need people who are believing and able to execute that change.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. Brilliant advice there, mate. And as you wrap up, I always like to ask my guests how they self-educate. So how do you self-educate and make certain you on top of industry news, also other news outside of the complete industry, the ecosystem, and also obviously governmental things that are going on? Do you listen to podcasts? Do you listen to YouTube channels? Are you reading books? What do you do that you think would be important maybe for the listeners to pick up and listen to or read?
I think all of the above, basically.
I'm going to put you on the spot. What book have you read recently, or are you reading that you think is a good one for folks to pick up?
I'm listening to some podcasts as well, like Untold Stories podcast. It's a startup podcast, and some design thinking podcasts also, because it's very crucial to what we do, design thinking.
Yeah.
And also the Breaking Banks podcast.
Yeah,
it's been in fintech, and it's a very basic one. And recently, I read a book from Simon Sinek, the Start with Why book.
Yeah,
if you know it, it's very surprisingly simple concept. But we need to pay attention to it to start with why, because that's people are emotional beings at the end of the day, and we understand whys and we understand purpose more than anything. And then if you build on that purpose, then you will be able to change something.
Yeah, brilliant. And it's a good note to end off with. And there's been so many nuggets of wisdom and also insights and some strategies that everyone listening to the episode today should take action off the back of this. There's stuff that we spoke around about people, expansion, contraction, training. Take notes, list it out, and start implementing. And I want to know from you how it's going. Drop me a note at richard@scaleupconsulting.co and let me know if you've got any questions or any feedback on the show today, and any help you need off the back of what we just went through. And Tomas, amazing to have you on the show today. Brilliant. And last but not least, how can folk get in touch with you if they want to?
Our website is fintechx.digital. We like to think that we're democratizing finance the same way as SpaceX is trying to democratize space travel by bringing the cost down so much that everybody can innovate. So fintechx.digital.
Awesome. I love it. And looking forward to watching you guys grow and prosper and expand over the not too distant future. Thanks again.
Thank you.